David writes in verse 2 this, when my heart is overwhelmed, when my heart is overwhelmed. There are times in our lives, or there will be times in our lives, when our hearts are overwhelmed. I wonder if you've experienced that yourself. Maybe in recent days, your heart has been overwhelmed. Maybe that you've looked out in the world and you see the events unfolding and your heart is overwhelmed. It may be, particularly in the last few days, that we have looked at someone else and their family and our hearts have been overwhelmed at what is going on in their lives. Or it may be something that's happening in your life, that your heart is overwhelmed. Well, this is what the case was for David. His heart was overwhelmed. What are we to do when our hearts are overwhelmed? What are we to do when we hear news that overwhelms us? Or that something happens in our own lives that overwhelms us? Well, this psalm and other parts of the Bible teach us what to do at these times. David's heart is overwhelmed here. And yet he goes through a process in his mind to help him. What is it that David does when his heart is overwhelmed? Well, look what he says in verse 2. From the ends of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When our hearts are overwhelmed, this is what we must do. We are to ask that we would be led to the rock that is higher than us. And this evening, I want us to learn this or relearn this important truth by studying Psalm 61, or at least the first few verses of it. When I say learn or relearn, I'm not berating you. I'm not telling you off. It's just if you're like me, this is sometimes not what we do first of all. We don't ask that we would be led to the rock that is higher than us. And so I want us to dwell on these things. Anything that I'll say tonight is not said coldly or glibly. But I'm saying these things because it's absolutely necessary that we do these things. If we don't do these things, then we won't find the help that we need when our heart is overwhelmed. Because ultimately that is the only source of comfort that we will find when our heart is overwhelmed, when we are led to the rock that is higher than I. So I've got 2 points this evening. I don't plan to be long. First of all, an overwhelmed heart. And then secondly, our high rock. First, an overwhelmed heart. I want to say that it is possible for a Christian to have a heart that is overwhelmed. It's not a sinful thing for that to be the case. Here David in this psalm, the believer in Christ, tells us that his heart is overwhelmed. Verse 2, my heart is overwhelmed. And that word for overwhelmed is actually a difficult word to translate. You can ask Peter afterwards what it means, but It can mean to turn aside or to turn in the case of turning to cover oneself. It can also mean to be feeble or to be faint or to grow weak. It's hard for us to get to the bottom of this, but as you read the psalm, you get a feeling or an idea of what David is going through. He speaks of himself as being at the end of the earth. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. It's almost as if he's at his wit's end here. He speaks about crying out, doesn't he, in verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. In verse 2, from the end of the earth I will cry to you. That's not a little peep coming out of his mouth. It is shouting. I am shouting out to you in my distress. My heart is so overwhelmed that I am shouting out in my distress. That's the kind of thing that he is beginning to show us, the circumstances that he finds himself in. He's feeble or faint. You could say that he's at his wit's end and he's so distressed, his heart is so overwhelmed that he is crying out to God. What he wants to do in that is to cover himself from the thing that is distressing him, whatever it is. Because we're not actually told what it is that is distressing him or causing his heart to be overwhelmed. Some people think that David is here referring to the time when he was fleeing from Absalom, his son. If you know that in the Bible, there came a time when King David was fleeing his son. His son was trying to kill him. And you can imagine how distressing that would have been for David to have his own son trying to track him down and to kill him. And so he had to flee into the wilderness. And some people think that because in verse 6, I believe, that he is referring to the king there. I know it can be taken prophetically, but that's what most people say, that it's happening when David is fleeing from his son who is trying to kill him, Absalom. But all we don't know for certain, is that he is overwhelmed. Whatever circumstance that he is going through, it is something that is overwhelming him in the ways that I described. And perhaps this evening you are overwhelmed. You could describe yourselves in those following ways of being feeble, evil, growing faint. Perhaps it's not something that's going on in your life. You're looking out at the world around you, or you're looking at someone else's life, and it's causing you to be overwhelmed. Or perhaps it is something in your life, and your heart is overwhelmed, just as David's was. But what are we to do when that happens? Because it will happen if it hasn't happened to you already. Some of you are very young children, and these things might sound a bit strange to you, but speak to some of the older Christians in the congregation, and they'll tell you that these things do happen. There are times in your life when your heart will be overwhelmed. But what is it we do when our heart is overwhelmed? Well, the Bible tells us in verse 2, "When my heart is overwhelmed," David wrote, "lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so secondly, I want to meditate on our high rock. What did David mean when he wrote that? "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Was David talking literally here? "Lead me to a rock that is higher than I." So if David is fleeing from his son Absalom there in the wilderness, is he asking that he would literally be led to a rock somewhere higher than he currently is standing, that he would be safe from his son Absalom? Well, in one sense, yes. In those times, high rocks were a refuge from his enemies. You can read about that in 1 Samuel 13. People could hide in the clefts of the rock and be safe from their enemies there. They go right into the rock, and there's instances of the Bible of people escaping even when people went into the cave, they couldn't find them. And you know, if you're into military history, that you know that armies want to get the high ground, don't they? If they're going to be successful in the battle, the high ground is where you want to be, because it gives you so many advantages. You can see your enemy from afar off and react. People trying to come up into the high mountains will be exhausted by the time they get to you if they know where you are. And it's much easier to fight downhill than it is to fight uphill. And so is that what David is asking? That he would be held to a high place where he can be safe from Absalom if it is the case? Is that what he's asking for? That he would be literally brought to a higher place? Or is David here speaking metaphorically? Does he mean something else here? Well, look at the language that David used in verse 2. David doesn't say, lead me to your rock that is higher than the one that I am currently on, does he? Because then David would have been talking literally. No, David writes, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Look at the next verse. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. David calls the rock you. David says, you have been a shelter for me. David is therefore talking about a person. This rock that he's referring to is metaphorical. And I'm sure most of you know that, but he's referring to a person here. But again, we have to ask the question, who is this person? Is David referring to some rock that he knows that is a reliable friend of his? Referring to Jonathan, who was such a friend to him, or someone like Hushai or Barzillai, who remained loyal to David? In some senses, they were a rock, someone who he could rely on. They were dependable men, weren't they? Is that who David is talking about? Lead me to one of them in my distress. I say that because that is what we sometimes do, isn't it? We look at, in our times of distress, someone who is a rock metaphorically that we know, an older Christian, someone in our family. Is that what David is doing here? Lead me to that rock. No, David is speaking about God here, isn't he? I'm sure you knew that. Because listen to what David says in the next Psalm. Psalm 62 verse 1. Truly my soul finds rest in God. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Verse 5, yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. It was God who was David's rock. Yes, his friends were dependable and loyal, whether it be Jonathan or Hushai or Barzillai, one of these men that are talked about in the Bible, but none of these compared to God. God was David's rock, ultimately. And David was acutely aware that God was the rock. He was the rock. It's such a fitting illustration for God, isn't it? He calls God a rock. I wonder if you thought about that. We can skim over Scripture and not really think about the implications of what we're reading. God is a rock. A rock speaks of safety. Rocks are incredibly strong. When people are shot at, they hide behind rocks, don't they? I remember visiting Jerusalem and you could see bullet holes in the wall. It hadn't penetrated, hadn't gone all the way through the wall. I think it must have been the 1940, whatever year it was, war. People were safe behind that rock. And a rock speaks of dependability or reliability. Large rocks do not move or change, do they? They are solid. They're immovable. Even when the rain and the wind beats them down, if you go to the Isle of Skye, there is a conical-shaped rock that is just standing there as if it has come down from heaven. And if you know the Scottish weather, you will know that the wind and the rain has beaten that rock and it still stands. It is remarkable. When there is a flood, what do? People often run to large rocks, don't they? And they cast themselves upon the rock because they know that if everything else is flooded away, that rock will remain. And so it is God the rock. God the rock, he calls God a rock, that David asks to be led. And notice how David has to go through a process in his mind to benefit from the reality that God is a rock. Did you notice that? It was not the case that David was able to quiet his heart immediately, or else there wouldn't have been a psalm. David had to go through a process to remember the reality that God is his rock. The first thing that he did was to pray. Verse 1, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer." When his heart was overwhelmed, David first prayed. Now again, I'm saying some very basic things this evening, but sometimes we miss the simple things because it's sometimes not the first thing that we do. Sometimes Christians do not pray first when their heart is overwhelmed. They might immediately try to fix the problem themselves, work the problem, rely upon their own experience, see themselves as their own rock. Or they might go to a family member or a friend or even a pastor, and I'm not saying those things are wrong in themselves. But this is before they have prayed about the circumstances that they find themselves in. What does James say in James chapter 5? "If anyone among you is suffering, let him pray." Let him pray. That is the first thing that we should do when our hearts are overwhelmed. And look what David prayed. It's very important for us to see this, because David actually prayed in verse 2 this: "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Did you notice that? "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me." David recognized that in his mind he had to be led to consider who God is. He had to be led there. Perhaps he had taken his eye of faith off God and had to be led back. Perhaps he was so far away in his mind that he needed to be thinking upon God as being his rock. And he prays, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." I'm fairly certain that David did not need to learn this about God. He already knew about it. He knew that God was his rock all the way through his life. He was testifying to God being his rock. But in this occasion, he's praying that he would be led to the rock that is higher than I. This was part of the process in coming to quiet in his heart that was overwhelmed. And so was remembering past help. Part of the process in coming to quiet in his heart, if you want to put it that way, is meditating on the help that he had received from God in the past. That's such a crucial thing to know and remember as Christians, that when we're suddenly plunged into a crisis of our own or seeing someone else, what do? We look back at how God has helped us and them in the future. Listen to what it says in verse 3. "For you have been a shelter for me." You have been. That's written in the past tense, isn't it? It doesn't say you will be a shelter for me. You have been a shelter for me. In other words, what he is doing is he's looking back at the countless times, no doubt, when God has proved himself in his life. Think about David's life and how often he was in danger from a very young age, whether it was out in the field looking after the sheep and bears and wolves would come. God protected him there. In his ascendancy to the king, God protected him there. Now in this, as he's facing this new situation, perhaps if it is the time when Absalom is fleeing him, will God protect him then? Well, what he's assuring himself in is that as you have been a shelter for me in the past, you will be a shelter for me in this particular situation. And that's a really important thing for us to remember, because we can forget how God has helped us in the past, can't we? But we must remember that He will. We look back as we go into the present and the future. We look into God's character and how He is able to keep us in the past, present, and future. You have been a shelter for me and will continue to be a shelter for me. Well, as I come to a close, I want to say this, that all the way through his life, David was acutely aware of the reality that God had been his rock. Near the end of his life, David could say this in 2 Samuel 22, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." This is after he is surveying all the enemies that God had defeated before him. He says that God is the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge. But along the way, he had to go through the process in his mind. In this particular circumstance, we don't know what it is. He had to go through this process. He had to pray, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." It said at the beginning, the Psalms leading up to Psalm 61 are five miktams, if that's how it's pronounced, of David. And before that, we have four contemplations of David. And if you look at them, they are when David, by and large, are in extreme circumstances. And I wonder if this is an answer to those various times in his life. I wonder if he is concluding here in Psalm 61 that God is the rock that is higher than I. Mentioned in Psalm 62 as well, that God is my rock and my salvation. This is what we must remember. We're not our own rock. We don't rely on our own resources. We pray that God would lead us to a rock that is higher than I. Well, let us sing in response.